You're listening to Dubstep and Dragons, a D&D.
Hey, Matthew.
Yep, I was waiting. I got five. I didn't even get the E out.
Well, that's all right. You can get the D out later.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
Sorry. I couldn't help myself.
Well, that's how we're starting tonight. All right.
What has Tinder done to you?
Oh, stop it. So I've got a story to tell you.
Of course you do.
So I don't know how familiar you guys are with strip clubs, but I went to a haunted strip club the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Seen a lot of boobies.
Oh, God.
Fucking dumb. So dumb.
Okay, so what did it? Was it a full frontal or did they have underwear on?
Well, I mean, if you look closely, you could see some booty too.
I gotta go.
Nice.
I'm sorry.
Sorry,
that was we're just gonna end the podcast now. We'll see everybody next week. Thank you for listening. Sorry,
I heard that joke and I fucking died. I was like, "Yep, that's the interruption this week." Yeah, absolutely.
It's pretty good. Yeah, I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Actual play podcast with a cyberpunk twist.
Ooh.
My name is Matthew, and I will be your game master.
My name is Luke. I'll play it.
Isn't it fun to say?
It is. It's a good time.
My name is Dan. I play Alphonse.
I'm your booby loving friend, Norris Gloomface, better known as Bo.
My name's Sean. I'll be playing Fallen.
I'm Jason. I'm playing Dream Gore Darkmoon.
Nailed it.
Oh, you are kind of a creepy boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll shout our kind of creepy boy.
Let's see your boobies. I did see Jason's boobies tonight.
The emo
elves. See my boobies.
I talked him right out of his shirt.
By the way, you were... Oh, no, wait. I didn't give you a ride. He gave you a ride. You have to show him your boobs.
Thanks.
Bo?
Oh,
Bo?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that was the deal.
Too bad there's no
there
video
for
this podcast.
See, we...
Yeah, sorry, listeners, you did not get to see our boobies.
We carpool, four of us carpool every week.
It's nice only living a couple streets.
I can describe them to the viewers. Yeah.
Describe mine.
So they're about the size of...
Wow.
they're about like, the size of pancakes.
Pepperoni nipples!
Oh, I thought you were just talking about the boobs.
Oh, no, I was talking
He's
nipples.
Got them pancake like, titties.
You gotta start with the nipple, you know?
Yeah, work your way out.
Well, like, better like Hershey Kisses. Surrounded by like little spider
melts
webs
in your mouth.
Nipple hair.
All right. Anywho.
I don't have like a very hairy chest, but I got hairy nipples for whatever reason.
You just have the like tuft at the top.
I know, right? I got a little T.
I mean, I'm full werewolf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason, you're a hairy man.
Yeah. I get the bat symbol.
Yeah.
See, I wish the hair on my face connects all the way down my neck to my chest hair. It's just solid hair, and then if I let it grow, it connects under my ears. Like, everything is just hair except for the top of my head.
So there's all other places.
Yeah, just migrate. Yeah. Actually, as I went bald, the hair started popping up everywhere else.
So how hairy is your taint?
Not as hairy as you would think.
All right.
I love how we're still recording.
Really earning that explicit tag.
This is all on the record.
This is second episode energy right now.
Yeah. Well, it's because we bullshitted for so long prior.
And then our wives wonder why they call it pee-pee touching time.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
Touching time.
Yeah.
My wife doesn't wonder. She knows.
So, we are the W-hubbies.
No mystery here.
As Dan's wearing a tiara.
Oh, yeah, we should address that. Dan is looking like a pretty, pretty princess.
Oh, hey, Dan is a pretty, pretty princess.
It's Halloween.
It is spooky ish. Season.
Ish, yeah. It's not
boogity
Halloween.
Boogity.
Yeah.
Anyways, a D&D Real Plays podcast.
No, I already got past all that.
Yeah, we've already done our interruption.
Previously on Dubstep and Dragons, the crew launched themselves from the dragon's lair with a pile of money and some new toys. In an act of unexpected philanthropy, they distributed half of the wealth to the people of the Shadowfell. We'll pick up right where we left off, in the tower of the... What? My brain.
Monastery.
Thank you so much.
I
words
you
are
were
hard.
Getting to the ship, I thought.
Yeah, you guys were in the tower and you were headed to the ship.
Oh,
do we just
right.
want to start
that's
in
right.
the ship or do you guys want to do anything else in the monastery?
My character's good.
I think we made our donation too.
Yeah. Yeah, you dropped all that shit.
I think
shit
we buttoned up business pretty good last time.
All right. Mm-hmm.
All right, so you guys are just in the ship.
We're in the ship.
And you are So you take off from the monastery, and you guys know exactly where you're going. And it's fairly easy, because you guys have just seen the castle off in the distance this whole time. And you three that have been seeing it since the beginning, no matter where you went, the castle never seemed to get closer. It was just the same distance off in the horizon, everywhere you were. This is the first time where it feels like you're actually gaining ground on it. You're actually getting closer to it. As you are sailing over, and Mr. O would walk up.
So you had mentioned that you wanted to see back home. See what was going on there. See how dire things are looking.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that I distrust Norris. It's just a second set of eyes wouldn't hurt either.
Right.
Ash, yeah. Or myself. I'd...
Especially going there, if you were to see it on purpose, you may be able to, you know, gather more information.
Right, right.
So, our religious friend over here inspired an idea in me. What if I was to banish you and just do the same trick and you see what you see?
As long as you buy me dinner first.
Well, I mean, I don't know if there's any restaurants nearby. This might be a little more pressing. Right. I'm sure we could have dinner afterwards, or, you know, if you wanted to have dinner right now. But, I mean, you're only going to be there for like a minute. I have to bring you back before a minute's up.
I don't know. Do you want to rock, paper, scissors for it, Ash? I mean, I'm okay either way.
I think you can rock.
Yeah, go for it. Let's see who's going.
Rochambeau?
You guys got to do it South Park style, though.
If anybody remembers South Park, Rochambeau.
Right? Nuts.
let's see. Athletics? Come on, baby.
Dexterity check?
Athletics or acrobatics?
Dexterity check?
They should just do rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, in real life.
I thought they were Rochambeau.
Yeah. On shoot or what?
Rock, yeah. Paper, scissors. Always on shoot.
Yeah. Always on shoot.
People who don't go on shoot are psychopaths.
All right. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Stop it.
Looks like you're jerking off with a goat. All
right, somebody's got to win. Keep going.
Oh, I
rolled a 19.
I rolled an 11.
All right.
Okay.
All right, so prepare yourself. Really think about where you want to go. Do you have like a picture in your head of where you want to go?
Yes.
Okay. Hold on to that and just hold on to your butt.
And then Alphonse grabs both butt cheeks. Ready.
And you willingly fail the saving throw?
Yes.
Give me an Arcana check.
Okie dokie. That's going to be a 14.
Okay. Where were you planning on going?
The top of the cross tower.
Ooh, the top of the cross tower.
On like no window, just standing on top, like where the cell tower would probably be on
okay,
the roof.
Okay, right at the tippy top. Mm-hmm. Like you're one of those stupid people that climbs skyscrapers. You feel yourself, as soon as this happens, you feel yourself almost like you're being pulled backward, like your soul is being ripped from your body and you're just hurled backwards through space. And you out reflexively close your eyes, and when you open them, you are standing at the top of one Kansas City street. Whoa. Holding on to this pole for dear life. Give me a perception check.
All right. This isn't going to be good. Perception, that is going to be a 9.
With a 9, you don't see what's going on below you. You can hear sirens and yelling, and there's a lot of commotion going on, but you're having trouble seeing like detail because you're so high up. What you do see as you look up and you scan the area is you see these ships, like in the silo. You see these ships hovering above Kansas City with these tentacles coming out the front, just reaching out. And there's a dozen, two dozen, you don't know how many. And as you and you see them, they're kind of they're at different elevations. And as you look up, they continue on as far as you can see into the sky. It looks like an occupation.
Oh,
is going on around you.
Oh, that's scary as fuck.
Is there anything specific you would like to look for in this situation? Like, is there anything you would try to take in?
I look over towards the Noogle headquarters.
Okay.
I'm trying to see if there's like a concentration of where they're particularly at, like if there's a hot spot. Just because all I know is Rain made it to a gymnasium, so if they're maybe in a different area, they're not at risk yet.
So you are seeing that the higher the population density, the higher the ship density.
Okay.
They seem to be kind of collected around. And with that, I will say what you do see from the street, down on the street looking down, you do see Illithid, like guiding groups of people, like they're marching from one place to another with an Illithid chaperone.
Okay.
Essentially.
One last thing I want to check before this acid trip is over. are there any of the little brains? Like, how do I see them kind of cascading out of the sky, or where are the little brains that we encounter in Nashville?
From this distance, it's hard to make out, but it does seem like there may be some running around on the ground, primarily helping with the coordination of people.
Okay.
And you hang out up there for, you know, 20, 30 seconds, and then you start seeing one of these ships start descending down and getting closer to getting closer to the tower. And you see there's like the tentacles kind of open up at the front, and there's like a balcony that comes out, and you see Illithid walk out onto the balcony and start reaching their hands towards you. And they're 60 feet away or so, but they start reaching their hands towards you, and you can feel your body start to get pulled off of the tower. And then you're back on the ship.
So, how was it?
Not good.
Not good.
Do you remember War of the Worlds, that old film?
Yeah.
It's like that, but with Illithid and then their little brain things. I also gave the dude a Shooter McGavin as I was getting pulled back. Yeah, they were walking up to me. So, yeah, they seen me, oh.
Well, yeah, you were there. So, yeah, they could see you.
They can't follow back, can they?
I feel confident, no.
Okay. Take your word for it.
So it's not looking pretty, is what you're saying.
No, and it seems like they were really following populations of people. There was, do you remember that weird thing that we encountered, that Illithid thing? Do you remember that, Norris, in Nashville?
Yeah, the fucking weird little, like, tentacle-bearded motherfucker.
Yeah, they were, like, walking groups of people down the street.
There were multiples of them?
It's a full-scale invasion.
So what Mr. O was talking about is, like, happening right now?
Yeah, so this is the first wave, how do you know the difference in the waves?
So, if they're still gathering people, like, were they still, like moving people around and stuff
yeah,
like that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good sign. There's still people. So that's probably first wave. So when the rest of the armada shows up, then they'll just basically consume. They go around. Their empire is an empire of knowledge. They go around and they absorb. And he does little bunny ears. Absorb the knowledge of all of these worlds that they are destroying, so that they can just collect all the knowledge of the universe for themselves.
We don't have much time.
All right. Okay.
So, Mr. O, how much time, if you had to guesstimate, between the first wave of them to whenever the rest of the armada come in? Like, how much time are we looking at? Because I remember you saying time's kind of different down here.
So, yeah. So,
how much, like, earthly time are we looking
at? Earth time, you have probably 2 weeks. From the time the first wave shows up to when the full force of the armada shows up. So the first wave, they, like, collect everybody. And then the Emperor and his full force armada come in. And because they have to be within a certain proximity for everybody to absorb the knowledge, if that makes sense. So there's, like, a central hub, which is this giant brain. Literally a giant-ass brain. And everybody kind of, that's like a tower. That's the central brain of the hive mind. So they have to, if they collect knowledge, they have to be within a certain distance of the brain for everybody to have the knowledge.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
So how much time is that, like, Shadowfell time?
Not fucking long. We probably have a few days. If you think about how long we've been here versus how much time has passed.
Yeah.
Why ain't no one just blow up the brain?
Well, I mean, the brain's real fucking hard to get to. We've only heard about the brain.
So nobody's ever seen the brain?
No. We've heard about it.
So how do you know it's an actual brain?
Boy, there's some real torture-y stuff in that story. But we got the information one way or another.
So could I just go in there
and
just set the brain up?
Are you familiar with Guantanamo Bay?
No. Like,
imagine that, but on a different planet with magic and shit.
God. So they can heal you and keep torturing you?
Exactly. That's how fucked up shit could get when there's people like him around. No offense, but I mean, you can prolong torture pretty effectively. Mm. And do torture pretty effectively.
I mean, I can bestow contagion.
Yeah. If somebody ever points at you and says, pain, just die. It's better that way.
Has anyone ever planted fake memories into this thing?
Into the brain?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I suppose you could if you like, show an illithid something that's false, and then and then through him, that information would get distributed to the whole hive mind. I mean, that would take some pretty hefty imagination, but it's feasible, yeah.
I think we got some good imaginations around here.
Inception. We inception it.
That was a good movie.
It was.
That's an old one.
It's an old one.
A good one.
I didn't get it.
Inception?
What's a movie?
It's like this thing within a thing within a thing within a thing within a thing.
So I'd tell you something in your sleep, and then when you wake up, you might believe it.
Yeah, like magic.
While you're sleeping.
Oh, so you're using mind magic.
Yeah, just a darker form of it.
Well, that's mind magic.
Yeah, mind magic then.
I would think that Norris didn't like that.
Well, you know.
Brain bullets.
Yeah. Fuck you, Alphonse.
So when we go to my world, you'll like prepare thyself. Shit's weird there. Just know that before all this happens. We're going to go see some weird shit real quick. Fortunately, there, time works the same. There's no time dilation, timey-wimey bullshit.
Fantastic.
So a minute there is a minute on Earth. So that helps. Well, we just gotta get the fuck out of the Shadowfell.
Sounds like we got to get to getting.
Well, we are getting. We're moving now.
All right.
And we don't have so much weight with that gold.
Yeah. Yeah, the ship is moving. Normal pace. Hauling ass. And are you in the cockpit, or are you just have it on autopilot to hang
out
with?
It's on autopilot.
There? Okay.
It's just hanging.
Where would everybody be hanging out, kind of having this conversation out of curiosity? Would you be on like a top deck, or like down in the mess hall, sitting around a table?
Mess hall, probably having a cup of coffee would be my guess.
Norris is looking for something stronger than coffee.
Okay. As you guys are traveling through, and you're all sitting around the table, just having a conversation, talking about future plans, you give in-depth detail of everything you saw so that everybody knows. You all start to hear footsteps, followed by like thump ting, thump ting, thump ting, thump ting, like the sound of spurs coming down the steps.
18 perception, would I know what this is?
Somebody walking down the steps.
Like, would I recognize the sound of someone, like, specific?
No.
Okay. I would like to prepare a spell.
Alphonse, you've heard this sound before. This is a familiar sound.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're all sitting around the table and you start hearing the sound of these footsteps and spurs coming down the steps, Alphonse, I'm assuming you would react to the sound.
Yeah. Yeah, I would probably go, hey, what's the boogeyman doing in these parts?
Well, seeing as you boys are in my parts, I thought it was only right to introduce myself to the group. And just as you hear this coming around the corner from where the steps are down into this deck, a man walks in. Mm-hmm. Roughly 6 foot tall. Dressed as kind of a cowboy with one purple glowing metal arm. I've met your friend Alphonse here. I thought it was only right that I meet the rest of you.
Norris would pull out the battle axe that he just got from the Horde.
Okay. Now, give it a second. I'm just here to parlay. I know you're on your way to come see me. So I just wanted to have a brief conversation, give you all a chance to reconsider before all this gets real ugly. I just wanted to sit down, have a nice conversation with everybody.
Norris would lean over to Alphonse and go, is that him?
Yeah, let's let him sit down. Offer him a drink.
Nope.
Why not?
Why would we? He's here now. Let's go ahead and kill him on our terms.
My sister's not here.
I hand him a drink.
Thank you, gentlemanly. What is it?
Coffee.
Coffee? I never much partook, but no sense in not being caffeinated. So, I am, as you put it, the boogeyman. I told you I would tell you my name at some point. I'm known as Wyatt Carson. You are in my home. This is my realm. You are welcome here as long as you like to stay. All you have to do is not cause me any more trouble.
I plan on causing you a lot of trouble.
And that's fine. I respect and appreciate that. See, I have one job in this whole thing. Just gotta keep you boys occupied. I just gotta keep you from getting in the way of progress or whatever the fuck they think they're doing. I got nothing against any of you. I'm just doing a job. So you can just hang out here, kill some time. You know, there's some real nice villages. I tell you what, I'll even get you a free few nights stay. Just take in the sights. That's all you gotta do, and then I'll give you your sister, and you can be on your merry way. Nobody has to get hurt. Nobody has to die.
Well, let me just stop you right there. If you were a man of some sort of sense, you would realize that your land is not out of their reach. What is saving you from whatever torturous... I don't even know. The world is ending where I'm at.
Oh, there's nothing that they can do to me that's worse than what's already been done that they saved me from. I work for them because we have a deal. They need somebody killed, or they need somebody distracted or slowed down or whatever they need. I just do it. They just leave me the fuck alone.
What happens when you're not useless or useful for them anymore?
Well, the longer I can stay useful, the better. Because I know where I'm going after this. And
question.
I'd rather not go there.
Does he drink the coffee?
No.
Okay. Is he still holding the cup?
Yeah, he's holding the cup.
Okay. Can I do an arcana to see if he is a simulacrum?
Absolutely.
Nineteen?
You look real hard at this guy. And you start noticing that there's no pores on his skin. It's all totally smooth. Like there's the little details that a normal person would have that seem to be missing.
Okay.
So, Mr. White, if you haven't gathered it, I don't much like you.
Oh, that's fine. I don't much like me either.
But you said you've got one job, and it's to keep us distracted.
Yeah. You boys keep causing problems.
So I
just keep you here, keep you distracted, keep you out of their way until they're done doing their business, and then my job's done.
So they see us as a threat?
They see you as an annoyance.
I can work with annoyance. Right now, you are an annoyance. I feel like if they sent you to handle us, we're a little bit more than annoyance.
I'm just a man trying to make my way in the universe. This is the job I was dealt.
Then why not just give us what we want, and then we'll just call it good? You know why we're here, don't you?
Because then you're going to go and you're going to cause problems for my bosses. Well, I have a job to do. If I don't do the job, then I'm no longer of use.
I look at it. I don't want to speak for my crew here. I'm just speaking for me, okay? Just like you're doing a job, I'm here to do a job. I'm here to get my buddy's sister back. You've got one or two ways of going about it. You give her to us now, and there won't be no issue. You don't, and I guarantee you're going to die.
See, I'd rather take my chances and hang on to her and have you boys come visit me in my little castle, because I got way better odds of killing the five of you than I have against the Illithid. Well, you are small potatoes in comparison.
Did he just call me small?
Mm-hmm. Jengor is going to pull his crossbow and say, "We're coming," and I'm going to take a shot at him.
Okay.
As Jengor is pulling up his crossbow, and as I get the word from my crew that he just called me small, I'm also going to rage.
Okay.
Dirty 20.
Hits. As the crossbow bolt hits him, and it sinks in, and it hits with this dull thud, and it goes all the way in, and he pulls it out, and he takes his finger and kind of digs it into the hole, and he kind of, oh, son of a bitch, I've only been put together for a few hours now. That was highly unnecessary.
What does that mean?
You think that somebody who's lived the life he has is just gonna come here, walk onto your ship, say, "Hey, howdy, chop my head off."
You could wish that you were that cocky.
You could wish. He may be cocky. He ain't stupid.
So, better question. What is he getting paid?
He's alive. You ever been to hell? You've never been to hell. You're literally in purgatory.
Knowledge of a past life for a 19?
You've never been to hell.
Okay.
Knowledge from a past life. Give me a second. You get a flash, just this brief memory. It's so real. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. Mm-hmm. You're watching yourself up on a stage in front of a crowd of people. And you're standing on this stage. And Satan will come for your soul. And the fires of hell will burn us all. And then the vision flashes out. But you've never been to hell.
Okay.
Hey, Wyatt, can I get a wisdom saving throw?
He fails.
Oh, he does?
Yep.
So can you just tell me what the easiest way in the castle is?
Just float right up to the door.
Yeah, but like avoiding all the traps, where's the back door?
You can fly right up to the throne room. He's not gonna stop you. He's fine with you showing up. By all means, show up. Die. It's easy. Doesn't affect him either way. Either you can hang out for a couple of days and he'll just have your sister walk right out the front door to you. Safe and sound, just as she is now.
Well, Mr. Cowboy, what makes you think so much that we're going to be so easy to kill?
Well, because that's what he does.
Just because you do doesn't mean anything else. We face a lot of people that are real good at killing. We're still here.
That's true. That's true. And you know what? You do pose a little bit of a risk. Honestly, he had hoped that the Shadowfell would have just claimed you by now. Usually when he brings people here, they never even make it to his realm. They step one foot in the Shadowfell and something fucking eats them. Like, the fact that you've made it this far puts you in rarefied company. But it doesn't change the final outcome. Just like the
doesn't change your final outcome that you've had so far.
That's true. That's true. But when you start to notice a pattern, patterns tend to repeat themselves. And when you've lured hundreds to their death, you start to get pretty confident that you're pretty good at what you do.
Well, you know, there's one thing that Norris likes to do, and it's humble.
By all means, fly right up to me. Fly right up to the throne room. Ain't gonna make a damn bit of difference. There's only one way you boys leave the Shadowfell, and that's if you hang out in an inn for a couple of days.
That sounds boring to me. I don't know about you boys.
I'm not going to sit here.
We'll see you.
All right. See you soon, fellas. And you see this man sitting in the chair. All his facial features and stuff start to, like, sag. Like he's melting. And then he just forms into this puddle of mud on the seat and on the floor next to it.
Gross. We're in the mess hall, right?
Yeah.
Is there like a island or something like close to Norris that I see?
An island?
Yeah, like a kitchen island, but obviously.
Sure, why not?
I'm gonna turn and just fucking hit it with everything that I have. I'm just gonna fucking wreck it.
You turn around and yeah, you have the table and then the galley is behind and you just turn around and smash the fucking galley.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's thoroughly destroyed.
Good. Norris would then just shrink back down to normal size, but that guy was cockier than me, and I don't fucking like that.
But we also learned something.
That I want to kill him more? That's the only thing I fucking learned.
He's a strong enough mage that he can copy himself.
What the fuck's that mean?
He also wanted to scout us a little bit, I think.
He wanted to gauge us. But he also tipped his hand slightly. Mr. O, I think you could probably explain that spell better than I can.
So yeah, there's a few... He did was... he created a homunculus of himself. He's basically like a copy of himself to serve a purpose. If you don't want to do something, but you want people to think that you did something, you just make a copy of yourself out of clay, and then you animate it, and it goes and does its thing. And he's kind of like controlling it remotely. So it's like a remote control golem.
So he's a bitch.
I mean, depending on perspective.
Well, my perspective is he ain't man enough to come over here and face us himself.
Exactly. But also, when we get there, we need to make sure we kill the right one.
So how did you know? Because that looked like a damn person to me.
Too perfect.
What do you mean too fucking perfect? Me? I mean, you know.
Look at someone's face. Okay. There's always flaws. That's nature itself.
Okay.
There was no flaws on his face or his body. He didn't drink the coffee. If you look at his hands, there's no weathering. There's no life. Life leaves scars on all of us.
That's true. Look at my shoulders.
Exactly.
The other thing is, he's just there to distract us. So if we really just look for my sister and get out of the castle,
we're good.
We technically don't have to fight whatever he is.
But it sounds like he's got your sister pretty close to it.
You would think.
You think maybe he was just blowing smoke?
Hard to say.
I say, Key, we get your sister. And if the opportunity presents itself, we kill him.
I mean, I'm kind of about killing him. This guy kind of pissed me off.
That's fair.
But just so you know, Alphonse, I'm not going to go on this vendetta just to kill this guy. I want you to know your sister's priority number one.
Norris, your body, your choice.
Well, I mean, I appreciate you looking out for my choices, but you know.
Yeah, if you want to kill that guy, yeah, I support it.
All right. Well, just saying. He kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Am I that arrogant to you guys? I mean, I'm sorry if I am, because that guy pissed me off.
No.
He's a goddamn menace.
I think the best term for this man would be a cockwart.
Cockwart. I had cockworts once.
That's very graphic. It really paints a picture.
You can't see it, but you just know it's there.
Yeah.
You remember that time at BJ's Fluff and Stuff?
Yeah. Did you get a wart from that?
I was a little itchy afterwards.
You should see a doctor.
You're a doctor, right? And Norris would just whip his dick out right from
I am not a doctor. I am a wizard. He's a doctor.
Oh, I'm sorry. The one use of that spell gem to cast Reduce?
Don't you reduce me. I'm already small enough. You son of a bitch. I thought we were friends. Don't turn my 2 inches into one.
Give me a...
What the fuck, DM? Shut up!
Roll a d20 and add your spell modifier.
I swear to God, you turn me into a woman.
That's a one? Plus my modifier.
It gets bigger.
Yes!
That's a plus 9, so that's a 10.
Ooh, do I get 10 inches?
You miss his penis and you shrink his left leg.
It's your strong leg now.
Take my strong leg.
Mr. Deeds, and whenever he fucking puts his black foot in the
way. Grab my foot!
When your left leg shrinks down, you just fall over to your left hand side.
Side note, your dick actually looks bigger now.
Is my dick actually longer than my leg?
Yeah, your dick is longer than
your
leg.
Yes! Don't touch my leg!
Marco,
I'll hobble.
Marco can fix the leg.
I would like to cast Greater Restoration on him. So if there's anything unhealthy, I want that gone.
There's a lot of unhealthy things about me.
Make sure you mark off the 100 gold worth of diamond dust for Greater Restoration.
Sprinkle it on there. Just
so what's that do to Norris?
It just restores your leg, gets rid of your herpes.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Not anymore.
No, it's cured.
Oh, good.
Yeah, no more herpes.
Yeah. If you had a disease, it is now gone.
Do you have any levels of exhaustion? No. I don't think you do.
No. I'm good. Just my leg was a little fucked up. And then Norris would just look down at his dick. That's like normal size. He goes, damn it.
Sorry, I missed.
I mean, I'd rather you shrink my leg than my dick, I guess.
Well, we could go the other direction.
You want to grow it?
Oh, we can change your leg size.
Whoa, no. Do we need to leave you boys alone?
Back on the top deck of the ship.
So interestingly enough, you walk up the stairs onto the weather decks. And as you look out across the landscape, the fauna has changed drastically. No more of the dense wooded countryside. It's desert. Not like sand dunes desert, but like tumbleweeds and the occasional bush and cactus and stuff like that. The entire landscape has changed outside.
Sweet. I'm just picturing the whole like Wild West intro.
Yes, imagine the Wild West with no sunshine.
Oh my gosh.
It's high midnight.
Yeah. Yeah, it's similar to the desert with like a bright full moon.
Okay.
I would like to go into a meditation to regain that spell slot back. Before we get into shenanigans area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything anybody would like to do?
As long as Ash isn't doing any barrel rolls, I'll probably go back in the crow's nest.
No, we're done doing barrel rolls.
Hey, give me a perception check.
Do a barrel roll.
We're not trying that again.
But why?
27.
27. Hey, from the crow's nest, you get a real solid look over this new environment. You've basically spent your life in those woods.
Yeah.
You haven't really ventured outside of them. And this is your first time seeing an environment like this. It's barren. It's desolate. There's cactus and stuff like that, but it all seems dried and shriveled. You see a little bit... you see some animals like scurrying across the ground, but other than that, this place is pretty barren. You do see off in the distance in several directions what looks to be possibly small encampments. You see one that you would be familiar with. You assume they're a group of Vistani. And then you see a small town, and then towards the castle, you see a much larger, like, city.
Okay. Does the castle seem to be getting closer now?
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Because obviously from here, I've always probably noticed that it never gets closer, but...
So, until joining up with these guys, You never saw the castle.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Even looking out in the, like, you'd look out in the distance, you never saw the castle. It wasn't until the castle became your goal destination that it started appearing on the horizon, no matter where you were.
Okay. I'm just going to keep an eye out, make sure there's no, after seeing that fucking Draco Lich thing, I'm just going to like make sure there's no immediate threats coming to our ship.
You do see, like, these massive creatures that are flying around the area. But with that perception check, you do, it does seem as though they're giving the ship a pretty wide berth.
Okay. So they don't seem to be really threatened by us.
In fact, give me an insight check.
Natural one for a total of 9.
So you can't tell if they're actively avoiding the ship, but like I said, they do seem to give the ship a wide berth.
Okay, that's good enough for me.
Yeah. Anything anybody would like to do during transit?
If anything changes, I want to alert the crew.
Okay.
But otherwise, yeah. I'll just be keeping an eye out for any strange things.
Sounds good.
Do you have advantage when it comes to initiative rolls? Yeah. Okay. Does anyone not have advantage on initiative rolls?
Or not have advantage? No.
Initiative rolls?
Yeah.
I don't.
You don't?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I think Dan's the only one who doesn't.
So I can choose one person per thing. I'm designating you so you have advantage on your initiative roll.
Oh, okay.
Coming in. Starting up. So.
Yeah. I would... slowly reach my hand into the bag of holding in an attempt to not disturb the artifact that's in there.
Okay.
And I'd like to pull it out and have a conversation with Fallen.
You're talking about the Wand of Orcus?
Yes, or whatever the heck it is.
Okay. You reach into the bag and you... It's kind of like Mary Poppins' bag. Like, you reach in and you think about what you want to pull out. And it just appears in your hand. So you reach in and you picture that grotesque mace. And you can feel the stone spine in your hand.
So while I'm holding it, I look over at Fallen like, what do you think this does?
Evil? Destruction? Chaos?
But should I use it?
I wouldn't.
Then what do we do with it?
Honestly? Find the nearest volcano and toss it in?
Are you sure?
Put it back in the sanctity of our archive and lock it up for all eternity?
That's a good idea.
Because honestly, that will lead to nothing but ruin, destruction, and a hollow life.
So do you think in a world where that's already happening, like say I popped in somewhere and just threw it.
Then whoever picked it up would then probably submit to the god that owns that and cause chaos and destruction. So if you find something evil, it's going to amplify evil. For instance, these squid bastards that you are looking at. They got their hands on it.
Well, I think it belongs in my hands then. For now.
It's here.
I can only say that
evil princess.
Look at this face. Can you... I give Sean the puppy dog, guys.
It works.
with a tiara.
Be careful of its price.
Well, what's that saying? Fight evil with evil? Good with evil? I don't know.
You mean fight fire with fire?
Of course you would know that, Norris. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Regular encyclopedia. I'm glad he's with us.
Absolutely. But... I would say, Mr. O, what is your thoughts?
On that fucking thing?
Yes.
That shit's pure concentrated evil. I mean, I don't know. Are you a fan of your soul?
I might have already lost it. I'll be honest with you.
Well, what the fuck does that mean? His already big black eyes get even bigger.
Well, I've already made a deal with the devil.
Jin.
Well, I mean, that doesn't mean you don't have your soul. That just means you made a deal with the jinn. What was the terms of the deal?
Well, I didn't get the jinn's powers. She gave me powers beyond a jinn.
Really?
Okay, with who?
DM, do I remember a name or anything?
No. It was, to your knowledge, it was purposefully very vague.
It was purposely very vague.
Okay, so you made a deal with somebody you don't know who they are.
Yes. I slept with them.
You got lucky on this trip?
Wait. Who'd you sleep with?
The genie. In order to complete the pack, I had to sleep with her.
Okay, but your deal is with somebody else.
Well, no, I wanted ultimate power to destroy this guy, the Baron.
Yeah.
And I fulfilled my end of the bargain, so then she gave me ultimate power.
Oh, so your end of the deal is just done.
Yeah, and I feel different.
Okay. So it sounds like you still have your soul.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I mean, that's good. Yeah. Souls are good.
I think so.
Definitely good.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to keep that.
Oh. Yeah.
Keeping that intact is typically a good thing. I mean, yeah. Depending on where your soul goes after you die. By the way, hell is real. I just want to make sure you guys know that before you die.
Oh.
It's a real place. It's... Yeah.
Yeah. Can I pull out like a pamphlet of Saloon and just like tuck it in his pocket?
Absolutely.
You might want to look at that.
Oddly enough, I don't know if hell is the worst of the places you could go.
I mean, I thought this place was pretty bad.
Oh, no.
No, this is wonderful, actually. It's peaceful, quiet, wonderful shades of gray.
For the most part, yeah. Yeah, this place is a bit better than some.
Well, I'm just saying, like, my soul may already be on borrow. So, what's the worst that could happen?
Well, he said Orcus, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the thing that I said is worse than hell?
Yeah.
That's where Orcus lives.
Oh.
So you could end up belonging to Orcus in the Abyss.
What if I belong... I mean, maybe they can fight over me.
Boy, that doesn't sound like a good time.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Oh,
especially if one gets you on the weekends and the other one gets you on the next weekend. It's a bad deal for you.
You know, I did grow up in a broken home. It wasn't too fun.
You know what?
I just rolled a natural 20 for my history check for Mr. O. So... By the way, I don't want to gloss over it. That was wonderful.
I never knew my father.
So, I don't know exactly what Orcus does if he has you on the weekends and holidays. But I know that he's like the king of the beasts or something like that. So I'm pretty sure he just... I'm just spitballing here. But imagine an eternity of being fed asshole first to beasts, and then being shit out, and then being fed asshole first to another beast, and then shit out, and then just continuing that process for all of eternity.
Well, Mr. O, have you ever gotten your ass eat?
Insight check.
So... I didn't say get your ass eaten. I said getting eaten ass first.
I mean, either way, it sounds like a good time to me.
Okay, then Orcus is probably for you.
Kind of a kinky guy.
You want this?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, by all means, if you're cool with some rough shit for literally all of eternity, that seems like a good way to do it.
Well, I don't know what option B is. I can't just leave it here.
Well, where heaven is a real hell is a real thing. So, I mean, heaven technically is too.
Well,
they have different names for it, but what?
What would heaven do with it?
To it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know that. I mean, if it falls into the wrong hands, it could be real, real bad.
Well, look, here's the reality of the deal. We've got it. We've got this guy who's saying that he's going to guarantee our death. How do we use it to our advantage?
Well, that therein lies the risk. So you would essentially have to bind yourself to that thing.
And he points at the wand.
You'd have to bind yourself to it to use it against him. And I'm pretty sure by that point it's kind of the deal is done.
So what happens if one of us binds ourselves to it and then one of the other people in our group kills us before this Orcus guy comes?
Well, then you just get sent to him. Like, then when you die, you just go directly to Orcus.
So either way, it's a one-way trip to Orcus?
If you attune to it, yeah.
What happens if we don't attune to it and we just use it?
You can't use it without attuning to it.
Well,
I mean, you could bonk somebody on the head with it, but it's just, I mean, it's not going to do a whole lot. It's going to hurt. But, I mean, as long as you don't, like, bind yourself to it, then just holding it, I mean, it's not, I mean, it's awful, but, I mean, it's not going to.
At this point, I have them set the wand on the floor, and I'm reading through the pamphlet, like, is there a way to get an angel down here?
So you flipped to the angel section.
Yeah.
Can I try to sleight of hand it?
Sleight of hand the mace?
The wand.
That's sitting on the floor.
Are you looking at it?
In between everybody?
It's just sitting right there.
Yeah,
I thought you said you were like looking at something.
I'm looking at the pamphlet that he stuck in my pocket, finding a
session. Yeah, so while he's looking at the pamphlet, I want to try and sleight of hand it from him.
Can I slap his hand?
I mean, I think everybody's kind of gathered around this.
Yeah.
Oh.
It'd be pretty tough to just like, here, what's that over there?
Holy shit, titties!
I mean, I'm guessing you could probably just pick it up. I don't think anybody's going to stop you from picking it up.
Yeah, I'm. Well, then I'll just pick it up and look at it.
Hey. You've never felt anything like this.
Okay.
Like, as soon as you pick it up, you feel... You feel like your soul is being tainted by coming in contact. Like, that's the best way I can explain it. Like there is, just holding it in your hand, you can, like, feel your soul rotting inside you. Like,
would that be much different? I mean, obviously, like, the deadheads were, like, not quite so tainted. But, like, before this group, I didn't really... Jesus Christ.
Dice down. Dice down.
Before this group, I really didn't have anything to, like, live for anyway. So, like, I feel like Norris wouldn't really have, like, a whole lot outside of this group that he would really care about. Sean, you don't have to pick that up. I'll pick it up in a minute. So, I mean, like, how far tainted would it be for Norris? Like, is it just, like, pure evil that, like, he's, like, felt before?
This is absolutely the most concentrated, pure, unadulterated evil you have ever encountered. This is an artifact made by a demon for a demon, for a demon lord. This is a weapon forged in the abyss for one of the lords of the abyss. Like, this is so far beyond the evil you have ever known that it would be shocking to you just coming into contact with it. Because Norris isn't evil. Norris is not an evil person. He's done some morally
questionable things.
Questionable or reprehensible, like killing somebody with an axe for fun.
R.I.P.
Chad. Me off.
But
R.I.P.
Chad
and his kids.
But you're not evil. And so when you feel this, it's such a juxtaposition from your moral standing to the moral standing of this object. It's actually less shocking for Alphonse. Alphonse is, he's not like pure evil, but he's further along the spectrum than the rest of you.
All right.
Go ahead.
Can I make a perception check to see how good Norris looks with it in his hand?
He looks pretty fucking badass. No check required.
I'd like to make a comment about how good he looks with
the mace.
Yeah,
he's got a green flaming skull and spine in his hand, and it's kind of like the green flames are kind of dancing off of his metal arms, like just hitting the metal very nicely.
Norris.
Yes, sir.
He's looking pretty good at that.
You know, it feels weird.
Okay, I'm just going to point this out. The moral center of this group, no offense, Alphonse, not that guy.
As a new guy-ish, I say new guy as in, like, I don't know the fucking rules about anything. Would me attuning to it change my outlook on how I treat the group? Or would I just have a moral, like knowledge of knowing that, like, I just damned myself?
No, you would become evil. Like, it would change you. It would change Norris as a person.
Even to my group?
Yeah. Mm. You would start taking evil actions. Like, you would still be working towards your goal. But yeah, if you were able to successfully attune to it, you would become evil.
Norris, I like you the way you are, so let's not go down that road.
Norris, we all have bags of holding, correct? Or would do we
no,
just
there's
have
only one bag okay. of holding.
I would like to make a persuasion check towards Norris, or persuade Norris.
Go for it.
I rolled, didn't change my dice. So that is going to be a 31.
I'm going to fail. There's no way
yeah,
I can roll higher.
You cannot
than
beat that.
Norris?
Yeah.
I don't want you to change. But sometimes you just got to do what feels right. I'll let you hold on to that for now.
All right.
Hang on just a second. Let me look something up. In your mind right now.
Yeah.
Purely out of curiosity.
Yeah.
Where's Norris's head at?
So, just me to the DM here. Norris is very loyal to this group. And I'm just thinking about, like, Dan needs to get his sister. He has something to look forward to. Dringor and Fallen have their factions where they belong, you know. They've got something to look forward to. You know, Luke has his father and all this stuff that he's got something to look forward to. And Norris literally just has this group. And if it came down to it, Norris would rather taint himself than to allow anybody else in the group to go along and try to attune to this thing and compromise what they have going along for. So Norris would almost be knowing that he's damning himself, but for a greater good. That's kind of where Norris would be.
So does that mean that Norris is going to attempt to attune to it?
Absolutely. Before anybody else had the opportunity.
Okay. So attuning to an item takes about an hour. You have to kind of sit with it. So I'm assuming he says that and you kind of
my
walk away with
made,
it?
Yeah.
Does anybody try to interject or anything like
I
that?
I am not in there. I'm on
okay.
the crow's nest.
Okay.
Yeah, I would true. Like to interject.
This is all happening.
But I don't make any of this known. This is literally,
yeah,
that was just me to the DM.
He just said out loud to you.
Right.
Like, he's going to let you hold on to that. That's he doesn't know that you have the intention to attune to it.
Right.
He just knows that
Norse
Alphonse.
Would just be looking inquisitively at it.
Yeah, he just knows that Alphonse, who is morally gray, just gave somebody who is easily
persuaded. Absolutely. I'm kind of gullible.
A very dangerous an object that he knows is very dangerous. So that's I won't flavor it past that.
It's like you were in my mind.
Norse, it's not worth it.
What's not worth it?
That price is not worth it.
I'm just looking at it. I mean, you know, it fucking feels weird, but it's kind of cool looking.
No.
Look at me. And I, like, strike a pose. Don't I look fucking badass?
You look better with that axe.
But this is kind of cool, though.
No.
I feel like you're lying to me.
I'd like to interject with a comment about how beautiful the green flame is coming off of his arms.
Power comes with a price. And that price is not worth it. There is a better way and a better path.
Yeah, probably. There's always a better way. But I don't know if you know this. I'm not too good at the better kind of stuff.
Yes, you are.
Sometimes,
you
maybe.
Prove it every day.
Well, he just told me I could hold on to it anyway. I'm just going to play with it a little bit.
No. Put it down. I beseech you. He's my friend.
What do I have that I would be able to put it in? Anything?
Like, I mean, you have a bag, like a backpack.
Yeah, I'll just like try to slide it in my backpack, I guess. I mean, he's going to see it, I guess.
Yeah. So with this conversation, I'd say, Fallen, I'll be honest with you, anyone else in the group, I don't know who else should be holding it but Norris. He's the strongest one here.
Honestly, I don't think anyone should.
Well, we've got it in our possession. Somebody's going to have to hold it, whether it be me, you, Alphonse.
Better to leave it on the ship.
But that guy already brought in his little clay guy, as you call him. What if his clay guy grabs it and takes it back? It's safer with us, where at least you know better than anybody. I mean, if we don't try to, what'd you call it, a tune to it, we'll be all right, as long as we just got it to where nobody else has got it. I mean, am I wrong? What if he comes back in and grabs it? Then we know an evil guy's got an even eviler thing, and then, you know.
You make a good point.
I'm just going to put it in my backpack. We'll just forget about it, and we'll move on.
Wise words from a wise man, Norris.
You know, I was a god at one point in my life.
That you were.
Norris just slides it in his backpack. Satchel. Bag.
Okay. And then?
And then, yeah, I mean, I'll probably, like, kind of make small talk and say, oh, you know, I kind of got to pee. Go to the bathroom.
Okay. So, you leave the area with everybody else, and you go down to the head. Do you attempt to attune?
Absolutely.
To the Wand of Orcus?
Yeah.
Okay. I need you to roll a constitution saving throw.
Come on, you dice big numbers.
Why is my constitution so high?
Please do not roll low.
I'm giddy over
so
here.
It's already added in there. Yep, so your plus 8 is what you'll add.
Bow.
Come on, dude.
26?
How much?
26.
Okay. You pass. and you take 31 necrotic damage.
God damn.
Also, you. I would just like to say that I did drop my rage after I blew up the fucking hyena. Okay.
You successfully attune to the Wand of Orcus. You can add it to your inventory and make sure you attune to it. I will read you the options were you to fail that constitution saving throw. Any creature besides Orcus that tries to attune to the wand must make a DC 17 constitution saving throw. On a successful save, the creature takes 10d6 necrotic damage. On a failed save, the creature dies and comes back as a zombie.
Could you imagine?
Jesus!
Here's what it's called. Did you get it?
One, yeah.
Okay.
It is a mace. Between sessions, we will figure out what your beneficial and detrimental properties are.
That sounds terrifying.
To the weapon. Keep in mind, you do have a number of spells now. These spells cannot be cast while raging, and you cannot maintain concentration on any of them. With that said, they are some of the craziest fucking spells in the game.
Nice.
Such as Finger of Death and Power Word Kill.
I got Power Word Kill. What's up?
Circle of Death.
Holy Jesus.
Blight, Animate Dead, and Speak with Dead.
Bo's a Norris is a necromancer.
Jesus. Let's go. Also, Norris is evil as fuck now, so.
You. Boy, I really thought this was something that was going to sit in the bag of holding for a good long time.
We haven't even made it there yet.
Okay, Norris, you do successfully attune to the Wand of Orcus.
Oh my god. I will say,
something I didn't
all my years
to say.
Of playing D&D, I've seen some sly evil shit, but Alphonse ducking Norris into attuning to the fucking Wand of Orcus. That was
so,
some
to be fair,
subtle
this,
evil shit right
this
there.
Is probably like some like recap shit, but I was already planning on that beforehand. And like Bo hearing fucking Alphonse say this shit, I'm like, man, you're kind of a dick. But like Norris hearing Alphonse say some shit like that, I'm like, yo, this is my bro just telling me I look good. I'm like, yeah, I should probably fucking do it anyway. I'm already thinking about it.
I should save it. I'll save it for the recap.
With that said, as you're all flying along and you're up on lookout, you start with the ship heading towards the castle. You're getting very close. You are now just about to fly over the walls of the city that surround the spire that the castle is on. And as you get closer, you see it's this massive walled city. And jutting out of the very center of it, it looks like it was unnaturally like forced out of the ground, just this tall obsidian spire that goes up. Like, you guys are not as high. You guys are not flying as high as this tower is. So as you get closer to the city, like, as the pilot, you almost have to, like, pull up on this ship in order to get it to go up towards the castle. You guys were flying at about 300 feet. You estimate this thing, the base of the castle is probably about 1,000 feet in the air.
As we get close, I'm going to kind of do that little two-fingered whistle to let everyone know.
Okay. Anybody that's on the weather deck would see that you are approaching the spire with the castle at the top. And it's, as you look down, anybody that's on the weather deck's looking down over the city, and Ash in the driver's seat looking out from the ship, you see this sprawling Old West style city. You know, it's dirt roads, there's horses, like it looks like an Old West town, but it is miles across. It is this massive city. And you see people walking around, conducting daily business, just normal life for all these people in the city. And as you're flying over, you can see that you guys are catching everybody's attention. A ship flying over this city would definitely... You haven't seen any other flying ships. So this is definitely catching a lot of attention. I'm assuming you continue up.
Yeah, I'm taking it. We're going right to the entrance.
Yeah, he said we could go right to the throne room, so.
Yeah.
Let's go.
As you ascend, and I mean, you're pulling this thing up just as hard as it'll go. Like you guys, it didn't seem as tall as it was until you got up close, and then by that time you realized, oh, fuck, I gotta really... And so you guys up on the weather decks, you're kind of having to hold on to rails to keep from just sliding towards the back of the ship. And you climb, and you climb, and you climb. And you can see that there's this staircase carved into the obsidian that's just spiraling up this tower. And there's people carrying all sorts of goods. Chests overflowing with gold and jewels and stuff like that, that people are walking up thousands of stairs to get them to the top of the spire. You imagine this is probably like paying tithing or taxes to the Baron. And you continue climbing and climbing and climbing. And as you reach the top, there's outer walls that surround the castle, and they're carved out of this solid obsidian. Anybody that takes a quick look can see that all along the top of the walls are these sharpened obsidian blades just going all along the top. And anybody that knows anything about obsidian, it is razor sharp. The edge of obsidian is razor sharp. And as you come up over the wall and kind of flatten out to a hover, you look at this 300-foot-tall Gothic cathedral. It's got spires going. It's got five spires, and the center spire is the tallest of them, and it reaches up to the full 300-foot height. At the base of that center spire, you see a large balcony that comes out almost all the way to the wall, so that they can look down onto their realm.
Could
from
we
this balcony.
Land there?
Say what?
Could we land on it?
It definitely looks big enough to land the ship. And as you come up, anybody that's on the weather decks sees a figure walk that was standing on the edge of the balcony, and anybody that's up there recognizes the boogeyman, the Baron. And he just casually turns and walks into the room, into the building. Specifically, you, Fallen, with your 300-foot dark vision, you're within 300 feet of the entrance of this place. And as soon as he walks into the shadowed interior, it's almost as though the shadows reach out and envelop him, and you cannot see past the opening into this castle.
You probably see a faint smile on Fallen's face. Just that almost evil chagrin of the expectation of violence that's about to happen.
So do we want to land on the balcony then?
Absolutely.
Yeah, whatever you guys think.
We know we're going. Probably just be like coming out of the bathroom at this point.
Okay, yeah. You slowly move yourself over the top of the balcony and set the bow down. And there's nobody out there. It's probably 150 feet across. It is a very large, like, half circle balcony coming off the front of this Gothic cathedral.
Are you able to put the ship back in the bottle?
We can give it a shot.
I think we should. I don't think we should leave it out here.
Sounds good. Have we made our way out to the...
Yeah, you guys have made your way down the prow and onto the balcony.
I would just uncork the bottle and point it towards the ship and go, I hope this works.
and you guys see the ship from the front just start turning into, I think I described it as like
cloud.
Yeah, like a smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And it disassembles and just flows into the bottle and reassembles itself inside the bottle.
That's a cool magic trick.
Well, that's pretty nifty.
Yeah. And no one got hurt. Look at that.
You're inside?
Let me out! Ting, 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 ting. Well, guess.
Shall we?
Are we going in?
Gonna pull the shield off. Pull out his morning star. Well, gentlemen. Finally here.
I would grab Alphonse before we started to walk in, as the group kind of like led in front of us, and I would just look at Alphonse like with my hand on his shoulder and be like, just tell D I love her.
Yeah, you got it, man. You're gonna make it out of here.
Yep. And I just walk. I don't even say yep. I just walk away after saying that.
Okay. We'll pick it up there next week.
Well, all right. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this great session of RP of Dubstep and Dragons. We hope to see you next time and everything. And don't forget to drop us a like, follow, and subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform. And as well, drop us a comment to see. Let us know what your thoughts are. And, of course, we'll see what happens next week to our faithful companions as we enter the lair of the Baron.
Toodles.
Bye.
Bye.